Josh and Frankie.
What a couple of dumb shits.
Hello, primates! And residents of South Park, Colorado, I suppose. Welcome back to Primus Tracks. We've got ourselves a special edition of Primus Tracks just for you. I am Josh. Right over there is Frankie in Primus Tracks Towers.
Hi, Josh.
Frankie, we have a special episode today. I don't know if you were aware, but something groundbreaking or legendary, or to use your word, epic, took place last week at Red Rocks in Morrison, Colorado. And we should talk about it. For those of you who are unaware, the South Park 25th anniversary shows took place at Red Rocks in Morrison, Colorado, just last week, featuring Primus, Ween, Trey Parker, and Matt Stone, and a whole lot of other people taking the stage. What a couple of nights those were. I was lucky enough to attend the second night, August 10th, and I was blown away, Frankie.
So before we go into the show, maybe you could tell us about all the amenities and cool stuff they had at Red Rocks for the show, because I noticed people were taking pictures with all kinds of stuff, right?
You are not wrong, Frankie. This was a large-scale production. In addition to the show itself, of course, in the amphitheater, there were all kinds of South Park-based events. The show's been on for 25 years at this point. They've got a lot of things that they can reference when it comes to the content, the characters, moments from the show, and so on. If you need to get to one venue in your life in the United States for live music, it's Red Rocks. I was just blown away by that. So the park itself is an attraction, and it's part of the show. However, the South Park production went beyond the amphitheater itself, spilled out into all these different lots and spaces. There were all kinds of cutouts of our favorite characters from South Park. I had to take a picture with Satan, of course. I had to get a picture of Man Bear Pig, one of my favorites. All over the place were these cutouts that you could pose with against the backdrop of the Colorado wilderness. It was beautiful. But also, every booth, whether they were selling food, drink, merchandise, had the name of some business that you've seen in the background of South Park before.
Like Integrity Farms?
Integrity Farms was all over the place. Now, I'm not familiar with too many of the names of the stores that you see in the background. The two I remember most are Tom's Rhinoplasty, because of course it references a Primus release. But also, I took a picture of Skeeter's Wine Bar. It didn't stop there, Frankie. The theme continued. There was a karaoke contest both days, I imagine. There was South Park trivia contests. There was a South Park experience, essentially a truck trailer that you could walk through and see all kinds of memorabilia from the show. I didn't end up walking through it, but I will tell you that I did see it parked in an empty lot next to my hotel in Lakewood the day that I was checking out. So I didn't approach the guy and ask him to let me in because he was snoozing at the wheel in this parking lot. So, but this was the traveling South Park exhibition, I suppose. The trailer on the side, it said New York, L.A., Chicago, Denver, and Morrison, I believe. So it is the exact one. I made it to a bunch of major cities. I probably missed a lot of the other festivities. I was living it up with fellow Primus fans, and we were having a grand old time.
So it looks like the atmosphere was fantastic.
It was almost a carnival atmosphere. So close. All I was missing was cotton candy and elephant ears, and people with not a lot of teeth. Most everybody had a nice grill going on as I talked to people, so that was nice. But it really did feel like a family reunion almost, because there were so many Primus fans there. Lots of Ween fans. I got to chat to some Ween fans as well, and then, of course, your garden variety South Park fans. Frankie, I've said this before on the podcast. I'm kind of a casual South Park fan. Haven't really watched it too much, especially in the last 20 years. The first 5 years, I was all over it. But you're a pretty huge South Park fan, so...
Yeah, I enjoy the show quite a bit.
Yeah. I'm sure when we get into the set list, you'll have more to say on some of these songs that I might not know. But I am I'm happy to say I recognize most of the South Park songs. And I was relieved because I didn't want to sit there really not getting the joke, although they do a great job writing the songs in such a way that you'll get the joke. lots of great stuff in and around the show, and then you get inside, lots of great visuals in the amphitheater itself. If you're not familiar with Red Rocks, there are two literal giant red rocks on either side of the seating, and some bands will project lights and video onto the rocks, and I asked some folks who have been there many, many times, and they said they'd never seen anybody use the rocks the way that the South Park production did. So we truly got a special performance in a lot of different ways. And, well, we should talk about it. So how about I fanboy for a little bit, Frankie? You've never heard me do that before.
Go ahead.
Your permission is all that I've been seeking this time. So I attended the second night, and you can see much of that performance on Paramount Plus at this point. And if you haven't seen it yet, pause this podcast, go get a Paramount Plus trial, watch it, and then come on back. Because then if you didn't attend the shows. So, but there's also numerous audience recordings on YouTube, despite the request that people not take video. You can see much of the performance. They did mix night one and night two, although it looked to me like most of the performances were from night two.
Shout out to Richard Garcia. Thanks for hooking me up with the show.
Hey, Richard. Thanks, buddy. So as far as the South Park stuff goes, I would say that there were a lot of clever arrangements and renditions and mashups that involved Trey and Matt, of course, as the primary performers, but also Primus and Ween got into the act. Their own South Park people got into the act. I believe the sound designer is a hell of a guitar player. He was out on stage quite a bit. There was a backup keyboard player. They had a group of backup singers. At one point, a tap dancer came out. There was a lot going on. I knew most of the tunes chosen, thanks to seeing some of those episodes. And they borrowed from the movies, of course. And I'm saying movies plural because we even got a couple Team America songs. What helped me also, Frankie, is they showed a lot of clips from the show interspersed through the songs. I remember seeing the Gay Fish song on YouTube or something, so I was familiar with that one thanks to their setup, so it jogged my memory. The South Park stuff, really great. You know, when you look at some of those tunes, like Uncle Fucker, of course I remember that one, but they did it in a very different way.
It was slower, right?
It was much slower, less bombastic, and it was a really great way to open things up. And of course, Trey had a good line.
It was always my dream to be able to be on a stage like this and sing something like this. Shut your fucking face, Uncle Fucker.
The Colorado Farm song is great. I didn't know that one. Pretty upbeat. The Blame Canada song was more of a march and not as huge, of course, because they had an orchestra behind them when they made the film. But they had a Primus Ween plus other backups orchestra for that performance, and it was pretty darn great. And I gotta say, everybody got a chance to shine. I'm thinking of the Team America song to close it. All three guitar players on stage, Bruce and Diener and Larry, all got solos, and they all sounded really great. Those high flying solos under that Team America. Looking at this set, everybody got a chance with the South Park stuff. And sometimes it was just Matt and Trey. Sometimes it was the Primus Ween big band behind them. Sometimes even more. People were leaving the stage and entering the stage. It was hard to keep track of everybody, Frankie.
Had you seen Ween before?
I will tell you, I had not seen Ween before, and I'm kicking myself for not seeing them live over all these years. I'd passed up a couple easy opportunities. And I'm a Ween fan, so I'm doubly kicking myself for not seeing them. Because I've heard some of these live recordings over the years, and I know that they just totally obliterate their records when they play live. And what I mean by that is they take the studio sound and just crush it, and you're just overcome by the brown, I suppose. So yeah. When they're playing on stage, it's something else. So I got to see Take Me Away, Roses Are Free, The Mollusk, Buckingham Green, And of course, Diener and Giener were on vocals and Diener on guitar for a lot of the South Park tunes. So seeing them play their own songs, I didn't even mention Voodoo Lady. Holy crap, I love that song, and that was a great rendition that they played. So big Ween fan, and now I really need to go see them live. And I do want to give a shout out to Claude Coleman for being a powerhouse drummer. I forgot how great he is. I've seen some live footage over the years. So I'm going to go. Frankie, you handle this. I'm going to go see Ween play live.
Awesome.
So Ween was a total pleasure, and it just reinforced the idea that I've been missing out all these years. And I really did pass up a couple easy opportunities. As for everybody's favorite band, Primus, Frankie, my performance on the 10th, and I'm going to call it my performance because it's in my little heart now. They played Jerry Was a Race Car Driver, and this is just them. Jerry Was a Race Car Driver, those damned blue-collar tweakers. We also got Tommy the Cat with guest vocals from Matt Stone, which it then became Butters the Cat. He was using a pitch-shifted microphone. And Matt did really, really well. And he was switching instruments all night long. But doing the pitch-shifted microphone and doing the vocals, the Tom Waits part on Tommy the Cat is no easy feat. Les, of course, makes it look easy. He's done it hundreds of times. Matt did really well. I was concerned that he wasn't going to hit the post at a couple of times before an instrumental break, but he just made it, and the presentation was great. That one, the Primus songs actually did not have their standard video up on the video screens, and I have to imagine it's because the performance was professionally shot. It's going to be owned by or is owned by Viacom, the parent company of Comedy Central and Paramount, you name it. So there may have been some issues with showing actual Primus videos on the big screen. So it was more generic stuff on the screen. And you can see that, I think, on the Paramount Plus recording. So those were all the Primus songs. And of course, they played all three iterations of the South Park theme, which I thought was great. The main lick, or that lick that Larry uses to start the theme, he only played it for the halftime, the original theme, because I imagine doubling the speed on that lick is nearly impossible to play. So they avoided that. Although they did play all three versions, including the Whamola version. So Tim Alexander's back there playing that Fish Fisher line, and Larry's doing the chunky walky guitar thing. I think that Enor did. So there's a lot of, it's kind of cool that they were playing all these different versions. So that was a lot of fun, and Les was wearing the red jacket and blue pants, and he had the hat with the felt fish on.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
And if you go look at the Claypool Cellars Instagram, which of course is maintained by Les's wife Chaney, you can actually see a close up of that jacket. It is nicely tailored. Okay, that wasn't a thrift store find. Whew, that thing probably cost a pretty penny to put together. But the hat with the felt fish was actually made by a young girl a couple of years ago and gifted to Les. And so he held on to it. Thank goodness he got to wear it on stage for roughly half of the performance, both nights. Those were the Primus performances. But we also got a real treat near the front of the show each night, in which Primus and Ween took the stage together. Frankie, and they played Ween's It's Gonna Be a Long Night, so the Primus Ween Big Band, or as Les called it on stage, Prime You Sween. they played It's Gonna Be a Long Night by Ween, one of my favorite Ween songs, so I was so happy about that. And then they played Here Come the Bastards together. So this is after Ween plays a couple of tunes, and then we get the South Park characters showing up on screen and on the rocks, and it becomes the South Park 25th anniversary. It was really great. I thought it was scripted very well. The video, the use of video and stuff on stage, Primus and Ween, the backup singers. I mean, what a performance. They obviously put a lot of thought and effort into it and had to rehearse quite a bit because Primus is playing stuff that they never played before. Same with Ween, you know, backing up the South Park songs and playing each other's songs. Whew.
Sounds like it's one of your favorite shows so far, right?
Well,
that
I have
attended.
I have to say it was truly something special. I have to kind of set it aside because it was something so rare. Remember, this was supposed to be one performance only on August 10th, but due to demand, they added the previous night, August 9th. So the first night was actually the second night, and the second night was actually the first night, depending on how you look at the scheduling. Lots of it was just so special. That's why I have to set it off to the side, because we're never going to see this again unless they do this for 25 more years and we get a 50th anniversary show and they're all out there on walkers. And there were actually some lawn chairs on stage for some anybody who wanted to sit there and watch the other bands and acts perform. Matt and Trey used it to their advantage. So there'd probably be a lot more seats out there if they do this in 25 more years because they won't be getting out of them.
Did the show inspire you in any way to binge some South Park seasons?
It did not. And that is not at all to slight the creation of Matt and Trey. It's it kind of just reinforced what I already knew about the show. You know, when they're singing about jacking it in San Diego. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, that sounds about right. Butters, the Gay Fish song, like I mentioned. And Lemmy Winks, which I hadn't seen before. Lemmy Winks was really funny. So I got what I figured I'd get. And then the stuff I didn't know was to be expected as far as the content.
I guess, you know, no surprises at the absence of Mephisto and Kevin, right?
Right. So Mephisto and Kevin, of course, was a Primus track recorded for the Chef Aid soundtrack. And also there was a clip of it on the Chef Aid episode. Didn't make it. They decided not to do that one, probably for a couple of different reasons. Les hates it.
Totally.
So that's probably the big one. Ween had written a song for the Chef Aid soundtrack. They didn't play that one either, The Rainbow. So maybe they thought it was too obvious, so they went in different directions. But overall, what a great production. And both nights were more or less the same. I think Primus swapped out, I think they played Beaver the first night and swapped it out for Mud the next night.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
I believe Ween played Piss Up a Rope the first night and switched that out for Buckingham Green on the second night. I don't know if I didn't mention Buckingham Green. That's one of my favorite Ween songs. And
Here Come the Bastards was there both nights.
Yes.
Let's see.
Jerry was both nights, Tweakers both nights.
Yeah, the
South Park stuff,
all the versions of South Park, of course.
Oh, Puppies both nights, I believe.
The speeches too. Let me see. Gayfish was there too. The Mollusk. Too many puppies, yeah. Butters the Cat.
Yep.
I see Puppies on the first night.
Oh, Puppies only first night, correct, yes.
Yeah,
thank you.
Not on the second. My Name is Mud was different, sure. Looks like everything else was kind of the same, just different performances, right? I mean, we'll get into the Rush thing in a bit, but I do want to point out that I don't know if you have compared both versions of Butters the Cat, but the version on the first night, on September 9th, was pretty much like the studio recording, and the version from September 10th had a little bit more improv and soloing. Did you notice that?
I only know what's from the 10th because I was there. I can't believe it took me 20 minutes to say that, but there it is. Those are the kind of things I'm going to have to look for through these audience recordings. What are some major differences? I would imagine with the South Park material, they more or less played it the same outside of maybe some banter, but the Primus and Ween versions of some of those songs might be a little bit different. So I'm looking forward to hearing those differences.
I also want to point out that something that I have said about South Park before is that, for example, even though the main characters are drawn in a very basic way, all the backgrounds and the animation is actually pretty well done, right? It's very professional, very well executed. And I also admire the way that they keep up to date with current events, and they are reflected accurately within the animation. You know, they don't leave anything to chance. I kind of see a parallel between that and the performance, because they are singing the most, you know, they're singing the silliest, most ridiculous songs on the planet on stage. For example, I noticed that for Gayfish, it was hilarious to see like this group of backing singers, you know, doing vocals and dancing, but all of them with a straight face, you know. It was amazing to see the way they played piano and drums. You know, it was pretty well executed. So even though the lyrics were silly, they were dead serious about how they were performing them. And I really admired that. They are professionals.
We should note that, yes, the sincere presentation of the material. They wanted to do right by the fans. They wanted to do right by themselves. And that goes into the production and the rehearsals. I should compliment Trey Parker is a really good piano player, and he kept it together. He did screw up something on the night I was there, and he stopped himself and said,
"Oh shit, I fucked it up now." Oh jeez, this was gonna be on TV too, and I fucked it up.
And then Matt Stone, he's switching between drums, guitar, ukulele, something else I'm probably missing. He was bass guitar. He played some of that. He was all over the place with his instruments. So we know these guys are beyond amateur musicians, and they're capable of holding their own on stage. And they had to do it two nights in a row in front of 10,000 people each night. I should also point out for the production aspect of things, you were talking about backgrounds, Frankie. The snow-covered coniferous trees were all over the stage area. And then, of course, we had these video boards so we could see clips from the shows and other animations and that sort of thing. The lighting was phenomenal all night long. So whoever dreamed up the light show really kicked things up a notch. And like I said, whoever was controlling the video and came up with the ideas that they did for using the rocks as part of the animations, because the first time we see the South Park boys, they're on the main video board on the main stage. They go stage right onto another video board, and then all of a sudden, they're on the stage right red rock. And they're looking down over the audience and wondering what the hell they're looking at. And of course, they're looking at us. It's very meta, very funny. So, and it was so great. I'm kind of beside myself with how great it was. Reliving it now with you, Frankie, and with our tens of listeners. It was a big deal, you know. And I remember somebody had asked Les at a VIP during the Kings tour, what's the South Park thing going to be like? And he said, well, I can't tell you much, but it's going to be over the top.
And
they
and
did.
Was.
They took it over the top. And I have to applaud them for that. They didn't skimp on production values. I know right now, as we were going through the set list saying it was more or less the same both nights, I know we have a lot of listeners right now screaming and pleading about the major difference on the second night. And Frankie, you already mentioned it. So we should probably talk about it so we don't get yelled at.
Yeah. So there are, well, you were there and I'm very interested in listening to your recollection. But what I did notice from watching the performance is that, first of all, they were beside themselves. You couldn't tell who was more excited on stage to have those two legends playing with them. For me, one of the most incredible things was when Geddy Lee and Les were singing at the same time. You know, their two voices together was something incredible.
You are spot on. And I think you're right. I don't know who was more excited. We should probably set this up. I don't know who was more excited among Matt Stone, Les Claypool, Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson, like those four guys. I don't know who was happiest. I think they were all in the stratosphere at that point. So the previous night, Les did a little intro. Hey, we've been on this tour paying tribute to Rush, and I've been bugging Matt Stone to learn the drum part to Closer to the Heart. So here's this song. So Primus plays Closer to the Heart. Matt Stone's on drums. He's playing Claude's drum kit. Tim's playing his drum kit, and they do their thing on the ninth. So, and this follows Blame Canada on your set list for those of you following at home. So they play Blame Canada, Closer to the Heart. On the 10th, they play Blame Canada, and Trey says, thank you, everybody, and I want to thank you, Matt. I love you, man. You have no idea what's about to happen. Matt's on the drum kit. You know, he knows Closer to the Heart's coming, but he kind of has this quizzical look. And then on the video board are the South Park animated versions of Alex Lifeson and Geddy Lee.
Did you feel something was up at that point?
Yes, because one of the people I was attending with, as soon as Geddy and Alex came on screen and started talking, he turned to us and said, "This didn't happen last night." I knew something was up then. They're saying to each other, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, blame Canada, gee whiz." Alex, what should we, and they're going back and forth, like, what should we do for South Park's 25th anniversary to help them celebrate? I don't know, should we send them some Rush beer? Nah. What if we came on stage and played with them? Boom, Geddy and Alex are on stage. People are screaming, fainting, losing their minds. I personally, Frankie, went catatonic. I just didn't register. It did not register what I was seeing.
I noticed a ton of people smiling every time the camera panned on the audience.
Oh my gosh. The reception for Geddy and Alex, because, you know, Rush fans, Primus fans, whatever, we know they haven't taken the stage together since they retired and since Neil passed away. So absolutely huge deal. Like I said, I was in disbelief. People around me are screaming and hollering. People are in tears. Les said, "All right, Matt, you're playing closer to the heart with Geddy Lee and Alex. Let's do." And so they played closer to the heart. And you're absolutely right. Les and Geddy dueling vocals. Tim Alexander killing it on the kit. It was really funny because Matt was playing the lick, the main drum lick, but he left most of the fills to Herb, which I totally get because they're super difficult. Larry and Alex played the guitar solo at the same time, and it sounded like one guitar playing. It was pretty incredible that way. So they both have that solo on lockdown, of course. And then Les brought it down, and he had some commentary, but the most important thing I remember was he said it was one of the most amazing nights of his life, which he's finally on stage playing with Geddy. Can't freaking believe that. And I'm sure he couldn't either. Of course, Matt Stone's in disbelief too, but Les gave Geddy some space to play a bass solo, but then he couldn't help himself, and he started a chant. He just started saying, "Geddy Lee, Geddy Lee, Geddy Lee." And of course, the 10,000 people in attendance brought it up as well, you know, egged Geddy on, and he played a few bars of a solo and then turned it over to somebody else. And there was more commentary. They finished the song. Oh, the last thing I should mention is that they changed Closer to the Heart for the last few iterations of the chorus to Closer to South Park. And that was really funny, too. That was a nice touch.
Les kind of put him on the spot, right, when he asked them to play a drum lick.
Oh, that's right. He also, once he brought it down, he turned to Matt Stone. He said, "Matt Stone, you're on stage with Geddy Lee and Alex Lifeson."
Imagine the pressure.
That's kind of a jerk move, but Matt gave it a go. I'd be like, what? I have to do this in front of these guys? Oh, boy. But he went for it, so that was pretty cool. So that was an elongated version of Close to the Heart, and of course, lots of hugs and cheers afterwards. I had a hard time processing what I had just seen, Frankie. Geddy and Alex handed somebody their guitars, and then they sat down on the lawn chairs and enjoyed a couple of songs.
that was hilarious.
The next song was Colorado Farm, so Trey was on piano, and then they performed Colorado Farm with Geddy and Alex out there just watching in the lawn chairs, and then Ween played Buckingham Green with Geddy and Alex out there. I did notice Alex leaning over to look at Diener while he was playing the Buckingham Green guitar solo, because it is a pretty powerful solo, but Diener's down near the ground, bending over, playing that solo, and Alex is kind of quizzically looking at him. And, you know, for Diener, it's just another night playing that song, so I don't know how familiar Alex is with the ways of Dean Ween, so that was pretty funny to see as well. So just really, what a powerful 10, 11 minutes that was of Closer to the Heart with the Rush guys out there.
And another dream fulfilled for Les, even though it's not the first time he gets to play with Geddy. But, I mean, it's still pretty epic, right?
They had to rehearse in secret. They had to keep this secret from Matt. So my understanding is Geddy and Alex flew in. Probably only the Primus guys knew about it, I'd imagine. I'm not sure who set it up, whether it was Les, Tim, Lur, whoever. Primus and Geddy and Alex rehearsed Closer to the Heart together at the Ogden Theater. Who knows how many times they had to rehearse it. I'm sure Geddy and Alex just, it's ingrained in them. They could just pick it up and play it without much rehearsal. But they rehearsed, saved it for the second night. Am I glad I got in? And I didn't even mention this. I didn't seek out these tickets. They had this pre-sale lottery on, and I just tossed my email address in there just for the hell of it. And I thought, okay, not going to get tickets during the general sale. I know I'm going to miss out. So I'll put in for this pre-sale lottery. If I get it, I'll go. If I don't, I won't be too upset. Lo and behold, I got a ticket through the pre-sale lottery. So I'm so lucky, I think, to have attended. Lots of people missed out, and I'm really, really happy to share it with everybody right now. What an experience. And the other thing is, we've done, 130-odd episodes of this podcast? I have never talked like this before. I'm like, wow, I'm really fanboying out right now. But for something so special, I think it's okay.
Sure.
And, you know, we have this crowning moment in the middle of the show with Geddy and Alex. We've got Les and Larry and Tim playing with Dean and Gene Ween on stage as well. And they must have been really excited to play together in that regard, you know, each playing one of the band's songs. And that's not even mentioning the South Park stuff. So it was a lot. You know what, Frankie? I would say it was almost too much, you know? Let me toss something out to you. As Soya knows, because he's told us, when a one-off goes really, really well, Les is keen to tour it, right? Wonka, Oysterhead, Frog Brigade, Duo de Twang, all those things started as one-offs and became projects and tours. Of course, one of the statements that came out of these shows was, there's got to be a Primus and Ween tour coming up, right? So, of course,
I wouldn't be at all surprised.
No, and I would be completely delighted. And it just writes itself. 80 to 90 minutes for Primus, 80 to 90 minutes for Ween. They can swap headlining each night if they want, then both bands come up for 2 to 3 tracks for an encore.
Sounds pretty reasonable.
I mean, we already know about Long Night and Bastards. They did a great job as the Primus Ween big band putting those together. I'm sure they can do that with a couple other tracks for an encore and just blow all our heads off. Speaking of that, I do have to say there were just so many people at Red Rocks. And Frankie, so many people asked after you. Where's Frankie? They said,
oh, that's so sweet. Thank you so much, guys.
Yeah, and I said, well, it just didn't work out for him. But here I am. And they said, no, where's Frankie? And I said, yeah, okay. You want me to relay him a message? Sorry, dude. So, but it did. It felt like a family reunion with like cousins I didn't know I had. I had some really great hangs with Mike and Madison. By the way, if you have HBO Max, please watch Tig and Seek. That's Mike's show. Go and watch it. He's a brilliant illustrator and writer. Seth and Adrian, thanks for hanging with me, guys. Dan at Gibson Custom, finally got to hang with him. He's a gentleman. I got to see Rory and John from Le Special. I think Luke was delayed, but got to see our Le Special homies. And it was so funny just to be on the lookout for people. We saw Mike D from 30 rows away. Just that shock of hair of his and the arm tattoos. We're like, there's Mike! Danny Carey was there. I didn't meet him. Rory got to meet him. And he's like showing me on his phone.
Yeah, I saw that photo. It's amazing.
Pretty great photo. If you're not following Rory, at Rory Dolan Drums on Instagram, you'll see him hanging with Danny Carey. Are you freaking kidding me?
Whew. So Rory got to talk to Liz on the podcast. Now he got to meet Danny Carey. I would say Rory's the luckiest of the Le Specials.
I would say he's a very fortunate man. And anybody that attended Red Rocks was very fortunate to be there. So what a fulfilling night. I think that's the word I've been looking for this entire time. It was so fulfilling to experience all those things. And I think I'm doubly kicking myself for never seeing Rush live. And I had at least two opportunities to go. And I will say, Frankie, the next morning my dad called me. I don't think he even knew I was at the show, but I reminded him of not taking me to see Rush in 1994, you know, a 15-minute drive from our house. And he said, yeah, I think I regret that now. Thanks. And then when I saw Primus in Vegas in 2010, that special midnight show, they moved that show to midnight because Rush was playing at another venue, you know, at a normal time. If I had my wits about me, I would have gone to see Rush and then hustled over for Primus, but it didn't happen.
Do you reckon this could be released officially later on?
This is a great question, Frankie. We have the Paramount Plus special, also aired on Comedy Central, just a couple of nights after, so those video editors were working really hard to put that all together and get the stamp of approval from executive producers up and down the line. I assume that's streaming in perpetuity on Paramount Plus. For those of you that watched it and are examining set lists, you know that lots and lots of content was omitted. Even some of the stuff that was in there was cut short. I think the Kyle's Mom's a Bitch song was truncated, and I think a couple other songs were cut short, like they cut out the middle part. To their credit, though, the audio and video editors seamlessly edited some of those so they sounded natural. But there were also some really jarring cuts between tunes, of course, because they had to condense for time. If you want a Blu-ray or a DVD of the entire performance, I don't know who it is you ask. I don't know if you need to start a petition on change.org. I don't know how you do that, but I would sign it because I would love to see as much of an uncut version of what I witnessed, you know, to treasure.
Yeah, because the show ran for almost 3 hours, right?
Right. It was about 3 hours on Wednesday night.
I just want to point out, no matter how many times I see the clips, it's still hilarious. Effort that is required to make Cartman's voice.
Particularly, I recall that on the South Park themes.
Yeah.
when Trey just was wincing and just you could see him just girding his body to get up there. That up there. Yeah. I can't even do it, you know. Once again, they didn't short us at all. They gave their all leading up to it and night of. They all performed their asses off. I have to imagine there's all kinds of behind-the-scenes footage because there are camera crews everywhere throughout the park, throughout the show. I would imagine that there is footage of pre-production. That all sounds like special features on a Blu-ray to me, so I can't imagine
there isn't. And interviews, right?
There have to be. I mean, there were definitely fan interviews. There must be some kind of footage of people talking with Les or Diener or Gina or somebody, Matt and Trey, who knows? There's got to be something that would be packaged for a Blu-ray. So, I mean, it's South Park. They're going to monetize it. They're really good at that. Well, Primates, I know it's not the same as being there, but I did want to talk about my experience on Wednesday, August 10th, 2022, Morrison, Colorado, Red Rocks. It's a night I'll never forget. If you haven't had a chance, go to Paramount Plus. It's about as good as you're going to get right now, and it is great. Of course, look for those fan shot videos on YouTube. You'll find a lot of those that haven't been taken down by Viacom yet. Fingers crossed, Frankie, so you can see them all too. And support Primus. Support Ween.
Support Primus Tracks.
The official podcast of South Park 25, although they didn't know that at the time. So once again, thanks to everybody I got to see. And I didn't mention this, Frankie. A lot of a good number of people approached me and said, "Hey, what's up, Josh?" And I got to hand them stickers and shoot the shit with people who listen to the podcast. So, I was handing out Primus Track stickers to strangers who didn't really know what to make of them. And I said, "Hey, it's the world's greatest Primus podcast. There's a QR code in the back." And they're like, "Uh-huh." It felt great. So I'm really feeling the love. Thank you guys for supporting the podcast. Spread the word.
Thanks, guys. Thanks to everyone who inquired about me. I truly appreciate it.
I did tell them you were in a Turkish prison, by the way, so we're going to have to clear that up somehow, too. At Primus Tracks, Instagram, Twitter, PrimusTracksPod@gmail.com. If you've got questions about Red Rocks, I'm happy to answer them. And the Facebook page. Hey, there's some nice pictures from Red Rocks on the Facebook page. Go find that one. Later days.
Okay.
You can do it. It's all up to you. Little plan, you can change your life today. You don't have to spend your life addicted to smack. Homeless on the streets, giving hand jobs for crack. Follow my plan, and very soon you will sing. It's easy.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.